अवेक्षते Emperor Parikshit and explained the text of the Srimad Bhagavatam. He was not accustomed to stay at any householder's residence for more than half an hour at the time of milking the cow. And he would just take alms from the fortunate householder. That was to sanctify the residence by his auspicious presence. Therefore, Shukadeva Goswami is an ideal preacher established in the transcendental position. From his activities, those who are in the renounced order of life and dedicated to the mission of preaching the message of Godhead should learn that they have no business with householders save and except to enlighten them in transcendental knowledge. Such asking for alms from the householder should be for the purpose of sanctifying his home. One who is in the renounced order of life should not be allured by the glamour of the householder's worldly possessions and thus become subservient to worldly men. For one who is in the renounced order of life, this is much more dangerous than drinking poison and committing suicide. Just meant for me. Prabhupada is targeting by Krishna's arrangement. This is the verse today. When you have just gorgeously welcomed me, and then I get this instruction. But you may think you are a sannyasi, but remember, you are just a very, very small, insignificant speck of Krishna's energy. So that is the message coming through here. We can repeat the translation. He, Shukadeva Goswami, was accustomed to stay at the door of a householder
only long enough
for a cow to be milked. And he did this, just to sanctify the
residence.
Om Jnanati Nirandrasya Jnana Chakshalaya
Chakshur Nidham Jena Tatmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mahavishram Kapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Ramayam Tadati Svapadantikam Vande Maham Shri Guru Shri Yukavara
Vrindavanam Ramya Kachidupasana Vajvadu Varginaya Kalpitam.
श्रीमद्भागवतम् प्रमाणमवलम् प्रेमकुमार्थो महान् श्रीचैतन्य महाप्रभो मतमिदम् तत्सादर्शन परः हे कृष्णनाथिन्दो जगत्पते गोपेशा गोपिका कान्त राधा कान्त नमोस्तुते सप्त काञ्चन गौराणी राधे वृन्दावनेश्वरी यजमानमुस्तुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये जय श्री कृष्ण जय कन्या प्रभो I love my body,
I want to satisfy it in all respects. And therefore my entire life, my desires, my ambitions, my activities, my thought process, my intelligence, everything is working just for this one purpose, driven by the love of my senses. But our scriptures say that it is not love of the senses that should drive us, but it is love of Lord Krishna that should drive us. Atmendriya priti vancha tare boli kam, Krishnendriya priti ichha dhare premayam. So the Chaitanya Charitamrita tells us that when we work for the satisfaction of our own senses, then it is called kam or lust. And when we work for the satisfaction of Krishna's pleasure, of Krishna's senses, his transcendental senses, Rishikena Rishikesha Sevanam Bhakti Ruchate, then this is love or bhakti. So working for our own senses is kama or lust. Sometimes when we invite people to come for satsang, they don't have time, they say, bahut kaam hai. That's true. It is right. We have too many material desires. No desire to perfect our life. But the goal is we have to. Jivasya tapya jijnyasa na arthah yascha iha karmabhihi. It is, we should live only for the sake of tapya jijnyasa, inquiry about tapya. Not no tapya. Tapya means the truth, the spiritual truth, ultimate truth. And we should not focus our activities for any other purpose. Na artha yascha iha karmabhihi. So the purpose of our activities must be only that and nothing else, not the satisfaction of our senses. Therefore such inquiries are very, very important. Tasmat guru prapatyeta jigyasu shreya uttamam shate parijanishnatam brahman dupashmashayam. So, in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, we see this very important instruction. Tasma, therefore meaning that since we have a human form of life, guru prapatyeta, surrender to a bona fide spiritual master, jityasu shreya uttamam. So, become inquisitive, not just casually inquisitive, but seriously inquisitive. Desires to learn about that which is our ultimate welfare. Shreya uttamam. So there are two words in Sanskrit. One is called prayas and the other is called shreyas. Prayas means our immediate benefit. And shreyas means our ultimate benefit, our real benefit. So prayers, generally speaking, refers to the immediate pleasures that material activities bring in our life. The results are very, very quickly achieved. And even if we don't achieve them quickly, because we see others achieving them quickly, so we are driven to also try to achieve them with a hope that one day they will be achieved. And that is the hope that drives the condition that we entered to work harder and harder and harder. As the saying goes in English, hope lies eternal in the human breast. The human being is always hopeful. Today I will get. Today, if not today, but tomorrow. When tomorrow comes and we don't get again tomorrow. There is this little story about the washerman and the donkey. The washerman, he loads many, many different clothes on the back of the donkey. It becomes a very heavy load. And he induces and entices the donkey to move towards the river where there is a bathing ghat where he will wash the clothes. And because the donkey is reluctant to move, the washerman uses a stick and ties it to the neck of the donkey and dangles the carrot at the other end of the stick. So the donkey likes carrots. It is a Sunday feast for him. So he approaches the carrot. He starts moving one step forward, thinking, I just move one step forward and I will get this carrot. But he doesn't realize that when he moves one step forward, the carrot also moves one step forward, because the carrot is tied to the stick, which is tied to his neck. And in this way, he keeps on taking his steps, allured by that dangling temptation. And eventually he reaches the river bank. The washerman does his job and brings him all the way back, dangling that carrot. And eventually he may or may not get the carrot. So in the same way, the living entity in this world is endeavoring for so many things, material things, in the hope of that happiness which forever remains elusive. We try to grab that happiness, but it never seems to come. And we think it's just there, it's there, I will get it now, I will get it now. And we go ahead and ahead and ahead, step by step, sometimes running, sometimes walking, sometimes sprinting, but it never seems to come. And then the time comes for us to die, and everything is over. And then a fresh life begins, and the same story repeats. So therefore the scriptures are advising, Nākoyaschita karmahi. Don't focus your energy simply on making material advancement. Focus on tattva jigyasa. So this tattva jigyasa refers to shreya uttama. So self-gratification of material advancement is prayers. It will come and it will go. Easy come, easy go. But shreya is something different. Shreyas is something that pertains to our spiritual welfare. Therefore the two words shreya uttamam are very important. In case somebody should interpret the word shreya to mean the larger material welfare, so the word uttamam is used to show that it is spiritual. Not just your long-term material welfare, that I have a life insurance policy or a pension for 50 years coming. Is there? No. The word uttama has many meanings in everyday language. One word, one meaning of the word uttama is best. When you want to say something is excellent, you say it's uttam, very good. But the etymology of the word uttama comes from the word tamaha, which means darkness or ignorance, or anything material. Uttama is that which is beyond tamaha, which is beyond darkness, beyond ignorance, beyond the material things. So Shreya Uttamam refers to that which is beyond matter, which is our spiritual welfare. So it is a duty of a disciple, of every human being, to be a prospective disciple and be seriously inquisitive about the ultimate goal of life. Shāpi parichanishnātam brahman upashamāśrayam. And one should take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master who is well acquainted with the conclusions of the Vedic scriptures and who is self-satisfied by virtue of having controlled the mind and the senses. So this is what is being described. We have to move on this path because our scriptures are saying this is what human life is meant for. So when one begins to ask the right questions, then one's human life really begins. And then by good fortune, by the arrangement of the Lord, if we happen to come across the representatives of the Lord who can give us perfect answers to these questions, then our life becomes perfect. So the combination of Parikshit Maharaj and Shukadeva Goswami was a perfect combination. The perfect inquirer, the perfect listener, and Shukadeva Goswami was the perfect speaker. And in this way, when there is a perfect combination of a speaker and hearer, then everybody benefits. The Srimad Bhagavatam says that Just as when the Ganga flows down in the universe from the higher planets to the earth, to the lower planets, in the higher planet it is called Mandakini, here it is called, of course, Ganga, and lower planets I think it's Bhogavati. But anyway, it's the same Ganga that comes all the way down from the Viraja. So as it flows down the three stages of the universe, the upper, middle and lower planets, it purifies everyone who comes in the course of the river. In the same way, whenever there is Srimad Bhagavatam being spoken or discussed, then everyone benefits. The speaker, the questioner and the listener. So at the time of Shukadeva Goswami speaking to Maharaj Parikshit, it is not that only two of them were present. It had become a great celebrated occasion. Word had spread like wildfire throughout the universe, not just the earth. And remember, this happened in the days when there were no mobile phones. And if Shukadeva Goswami speaking, the Srimad Bhagavatam was never interrupted by any mobile phone ringing. But still, the message spread everywhere by transcendental communication. They were not dependent on gross methods of communication that we had. Mobile phones would cause disturbance. It was very subtle. Word spread and sages came even from different parts of the universe. They came by the skyways and they attended the discourse. And of course, many sages also came from different parts of the world. So this was a great momentous occasion. And Shukadeva Goswami arrived there after Parikshit Maharaj had come. So already there was an established gathering. And in this gathering, not only were the other sages present, but even Vyasadeva and Narad Muni, who are the spiritual master and the grand spiritual master of Shukadeva Goswami, were present. Shukadeva Goswami was only 16 years old at that time. And when he entered, just by looking at his effulgence and looking at him, they understood here is a self-realized person. So everybody stood up except Narada and Brahma, because it was the etiquette. They were superior to senior to Shukadeva Goswami. And we have just seen a couple of verses previous to this how even ordinary ladies who were taking bath in a lake, they understood just by looking at Shukadeva Goswami that he was transcendentally situated, that he did not distinguish between the different kinds of bodies, male and female and so on. So this was Shukadeva Goswami. He was an avadhuta. Avadhuta meaning that he did not care for social formalities and etiquette. And so he was wandering around without any clothes because he was completely beyond the bodily conception of life. So such renunciants of Rukshara are called Digambars. Diga means the directions and Ambar means the clothes. So they only have the four directions as their clothes. And they would move around like this. It appears to have been a fairly common tradition amongst those who renounced. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, for example, there is a description of Maharaj Rishabdev. He was also like that. He moved around even in the lands of his enemies, begging alms. So Shukadeva Goswami arrived there and he began to speak in response to Parikshit's questions. Now Parikshit was already a realized devotee because he had actually experienced and seen the Lord face to face when he was in his mother's womb. After the Brahmastra had been released by Ashwatthama, the son of Dronacharya, to avenge the killing of his father, at that time Uttara came running, begging for protection, and Krishna entered within the womb of Uttara, and just in the angushta matram, just in the shape of a size of the thumb, he moved, whizzed, revolved around the fetus within the womb. And this child was just looking on with great amazement at this most extraordinarily beautiful, effulgent personality who had four arms and who had Shankha Chakra Gada Padma, the four ayudhas in his hands, and who was smiling very gracefully and mercifully, and he was standing on a lotus even as he was moving around. This vision was imprinted on King Parikshit's mind, so much so that he could never forget it. And even as he was born, he began to look here and there, trying to examine where is that personality who I saw when I was in my mother's womb. And because he was examining in this way, his name was given as Parikshit, one who examines. He was looking for the Lord. You see, any experience of the Lord is an unforgettable experience. And when one is not spiritually perfect, even such experiences may come. And the reason for that is that when one is quite advanced but not yet fully perfect, the Lord wants to hasten our progress towards perfection. And therefore, He may come in and give us His darshan or vision. And then He may take away that vision out of His own sweet will. Like it happened in the case of Narad Muni, and these descriptions we are going to read shortly as these chapters progress. When Narad Muni was only a small child of 5 years, and he had no one in this world, his mother, who was his only relative and his only protector from a worldly point of view, she died of snake bite when she incidentally also went up to milk a cow. Then Shukadeva Goswami standing here long enough only for the cow to be milked. So Narad Muni's mother, of course Narad Muni in his previous life, she went out to milk a cow and then she was bitten by a snake and she died. And by this time Narad Muni, a young child, already had been blessed by the association of great Bhakti Vedanta, great saints who had visited his house. And in the whole period of the Chaturmasya, they were hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord and worshipping the Lord. And he had their association. He would hear them very carefully. He had great taste for hearing and chanting about the Lord and for associating with devotees. He was not a frivolous, mischievous child, just like other children usually are. And the Bhagavatam explained that just one time this child had the mahaprasadam of these great saints. And because of the constant association and mercy of these great saints, he developed a very great attraction for the Supreme Lord and his devotional service. Eventually the Bhaktivedantas left, and then this unfortunate incident happened that his mother passed away. But fortunate or unfortunate, who judges? A very difficult thing to say in this world. What is fortunate and what is unfortunate? We see fortunate and unfortunate from the point of view of our material life, from the point of view of our experience in this world, from the point of view of this one lifetime. But Lord Krishna makes such arrangements that what may appear to be unfortunate may actually be the most fortunate thing. So this little child was the only object of affection for that lady. She had no one else in this world apart from this child. So she would shower all her affection on this child. And she had bound the child in the ties of her affection. But now this child has become transcendentally situated and was not so much interested in family ties of affection. And he wanted to go and search the Supreme Lord. But because his mother was there and so affectionate and binding him, it was difficult for him to do that. But the moment his mother passed away, he said, "Now, very good. Now I am free to go." He was not being cruel, he was not being harsh, but he just understood, this is the will of the Lord. The Lord wants me to surrender to Him, and my mother would have been an obstacle in my life. So therefore, he understood that the Lord had moved her on to another plane of existence to perform her service for him in that plane. And this young child was now relieved of the family responsibilities to totally surrender to the Lord. And then Narada Muni went wandering here and there through the forest, compassionate grounds of the forest, villages and towns. Eventually he situated himself in meditation, and actually the Lord appeared before him. And very soon the Lord disappeared as well. And the reason for the Lord disappearing is that it was revealed by the Lord himself. When Narada, when this child tried to bring back that vision which he had lost, just like a man who was poor formerly, suddenly gets wealth, and that wealth is again suddenly taken away, he strives to get that wealth back, or a person who is hungry is given a nice meal, and the meal is again suddenly taken away from him, and he tries to get the meal back. In the same way, this young child had this most miraculous, extraordinary darshan of the Lord, and all of a sudden vanished, and he was feeling most uncomfortable, and he tried to meditate in so many different ways to get that darshan back, but the Lord would not come. Finally the Lord spoke, and he said, "My dear child, in this lifetime I will not appear before you again. I have appeared before you only to give you a taste of my devotional service. And I have disappeared just in order to increase your hankering for me. So when you hanker for me in this way, the remaining minute traces of contamination in your heart will be destroyed. And at the end of this life, you will come back to me." So that was the Lord's arrangement for him. So Narada Muni continued on in this way and became eventually Narada Muni. This child eventually became Narada Muni. So we see therefore that the process of inquiry for the great saintly persons is a very, very fundamental principle. It is required in all stages of life. The sooner we begin, the better. So Shukadeva Goswami happened to be there. He was very fortunate. He was completely self-realized. When he arrived there, he understood that this was a very special occasion. It was ordained by the Lord, because Ishvara Sarvabhutanam Vindeshyasana Tishtati Brahman Sarvabhutanam Yantravudhani Mayaya. The Lord is situated in the heart of all the living entities, and he directs their wanderings. So he directed the wandering of Shukadeva Goswami in such a way that he happened to come to the same spot that Parikshit Maharaj was in. It was the will of Providence that Shukadeva Goswami was to speak the Srimad Bhagavatam to King Parikshit. So King Parikshit had this experience. He was also a pure devotee. Narada Muni, Vyasadeva, they were all pure devotees. Shukadeva Goswami, from his time in his mother's womb, he was also self-realized. But he had not yet realized pure devotional service to the Lord. Although, of course, it is said that in Goloka Vrindavan, he is the parent of Srimati Radharani, but in this appearance in the world, he was absorbed in the impersonal Brahman, and that is there we will come across also in the Srimad Bhagavatam first canto. And because he was self-realized, he did not want to take her. He didn't want to come outside his mother's womb, because he felt he would come under the clutches of Maya. His father requested him, "Please come out." But he said, "No, I don't want to get caught in Maya." Yesterday, three years ago, look, this is rather unusual, you know. You are just living here, it's almost 12 years, you are in your mother's womb. You should come out. By the laws of nature, you are not supposed to be in the mother's womb for more than 9 months, and most extraordinarily 10 months. But you are already there for 12 years. Finally, Vyasadeva had to persuade Lord Krishna to come. Lord Krishna personally came and he persuaded Shukadeva to come out. And he said, I assure you, you will not fall in Maya. And then as soon as Shukadeva was born, he agreed to Lord Krishna's proposal. And as soon as he was born, lo and behold, he just walked away, renounced the world straight away. As it is painful for Grihastha, even if they're devotees, when their son becomes a brahmachari. And of course there are some Grihasthas who really hope and pray that their son will become a brahmachari, but not everybody. And it was very painful, even for Vyasadeva, who is the writer of the Puranas, the Vedas, the Mahabharata. Even he was praying deeply when his only son, for whom he had waited for so many years, expectantly, and a great achievement, finally his son has appeared outside the womb. And what does he do as soon as he appears? He walks away. I have to go to this even books. Book distribution marathon is around the corner. I have to go. And Vyasadeva went after him saying, ha putra, my son, my son. But Shukadeva Goswami was not inclined to listen. At that time it is said that the disciples of Vyasadeva, they came forward and they were thinking what to do. Our Guru Maharaj is quite distraught with grief. So what should we do? We have to somehow the other bring young Shukadeva back. So then they quoted a verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam. Barha piram natavaravapu karnayah karne kalam vibhratvata kankakavisham varjanantim jamalam randravero radarasutaya puralankopavrindai vrindaranyam svapadaramaram Prabhushati. This famous verse is from the 21st chapter of the 10th canto, the famous Venu Geet, in which the gopis are glorifying Krishna's flute. And in that time they it's the 31st chapter. So anyway, one of these two chapters. So this is a very famous verse. Many, many authorities consider this to be one of the most beautiful verses in the Srimad Bhagavatam, because it describes the beauty of Krishna very, very nicely. Barha Pidam. Krishna has an ornament of a peacock feather in his head. Natavara Vapuhu. His body is in the pose of the best of dancers, Natavara. Nata means the dancer, Vara means the best. Karna yoho karnikaram. Karna yoho means the 2 ears. Karnikaram means the 2 flowers. They are karnikara flowers, very fragrant flowers. So Krishna will put them in his ears, behind his ears like this. Barha pidam natavara bapu karna yoho karnikaram. Vibhrat vasaha kanaka kapisham. And he was wearing clothes which were shining, golden, like molten gold. Kanaka kapisham, kanaka means gold. So he has a yellow pitambar, his dhoti, which is golden color. Vaidyayantim chamalam. So he wears around his neck the celebrated Vaidyayanti garland, which is made of flowers of 5 different colors. Ramdhan venor. And in the holes of his flute, he is pouring out the nectar from his lips. In other words, it's a poetic way of saying he was playing the flute. But Krishna playing the flute is an extraordinary thing. Gopa Vrindai. So all the cowherd boys, the group of cowherd boys, Gopa Vrinda, Vrinda Aranyam Sapada Ramanam Pravishat Gita Kirti. So the cowherd boys are singing Gita Kirti, singing the glories of Krishna. And as Krishna walked into Vrindavan and by his lotus footprints, he made the whole land of Vrindavan very, very pious and pure. So this was the verse that they chanted. And young Shukadev stopped in his tracks. Oh, who is this? Krishna must be the most beautiful personality. And he said, yes, this is very attractive. I want to stay back now. So he stopped in his tracks. And the disciples were happy that now, yes, Shukadev, we have succeeded in keeping Shukadev home. But then Shukadev had a doubt. He said, yes, this Krishna seems to be the most beautiful personality in creation, very attractive. After all, Krishna means all attractive. And the doubt was, but what if he doesn't accept me? Generally, beautiful people are considered to be not merciful. They're a little proud, isn't it? Whenever we get some particular opulence of this world, we become proud. Kunti Maharani says, Janmaishwari Shruta Shrivi Enamana Madhapuman Naivar Yavidhatum Vai Pramatim Chanabhochara. She says that anyone, there are four kinds of people, she says, who cannot helplessly call out to you because they're intoxicated with pride. And who are these few people? Four classes. One who is born in an aristocratic family, Janma. Second is one who has a lot of wealth, Aishwarya. The third is one who is very learned, Shruti. And the fourth is one who is very beautiful, Shri. So perhaps the doubt came to Shukadev's mind that Krishna is very beautiful, but who knows whether he will accept me or not. And I stay back here to hear more about Krishna, but I'm doubtful. So the disciples of Vyasadeva understood the doubt of Shukadev. They were also very clever, very intelligent. So then they chanted another verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam, which was spoken by Uddhava to Vidur when they met after Krishna's departure and after the battle of Kurukshetra was finished.
Aho Bhakiyam Stanakalakutam Jighamsayapayadabhyasadhi Lebhe Gapindadrujitam Tatonyam Kambadayalam Sharanam Rajenam.
When Uttava was reminded by Vidura about Krishna, he immediately went into a trance, remembering the various wonderful qualities of Krishna. And in this verse, he remembers the quality of mercy of Krishna. And he is remembering the pastime of Krishna killing Putana. Putana was the sister of Bakasura. Baka. Asura was called Baka, so Bakasura. So therefore her name was Baki. Putana's name was also Baki. So Aho Baki, alas, this Baki or Putana. Stanakalakutam, on her breast she applied the most deadly poison in order to kill Krishna. Jighamsaya apaya apya sathvi. She wanted Krishna to drink this poison and she came there in this very envious and hostile spirit. In spite of that, lebhe katim dhatri uchitam tatonyam. Despite this, she got the privilege of being in the spiritual world a nurse, in the same position as a nurse of Krishna, dhatri. Something so wonderful. Kamba dayalam sharanam brajena. So who is there in this world who is more merciful than this Krishna? Who can even give not just ordinary salvation emerging into the impersonal Brahman, but who can give personal residence in his own planet and the status of someone like his mother or a nurse in Goloka Vrindavan? Such is the mercy of Krishna. So when Shukadev Goswami heard this, then he was convinced, yes, Krishna is not only the most beautiful personality and attractive personality, but because he is also the most merciful personality, so he will surely give us shelter. So by taking shelter of Krishna will not go in vain. So Shukadev Goswami stopped in his tracks. And then the Puranas explain, and this is mentioned by Srila Prabhupada in one of the purports somewhere in the first canto, that a wonderful thing happened. Do you know what happened? What did Shukadev Goswami do? Did he go or did he stay? Did he leave home and go away or did he stay back?
He had Bala home.
My question is not answered. Did he go away or did he stay back? How many devotees feel he stayed back? You can raise your hand. How many devotees feel he walked away? Raise your hand. How many don't? How many say both? So how do you say both? How?
About the second
Shukadev Goswami. Yes. Prabhupada explained one of his purports that he actually expanded himself. One expansion became a Grihastha and stayed there to satisfy Vyasadeva, and the main Shukadev went on to become a renunciant and preach Srimad Bhagavatam to Parikshit Maharaj. Many devotees may wish. When we have too much of this material world and the hassles of material life, we think. But the responsibilities keep us back. So we wish, oh, I wish we could expand like this. But Shukadev did that. So he went ahead. And then the perfect question, perfect answer stayed. He was the example of a perfect renunciate. And that is being mentioned here, that he stayed long enough just for the cow to be milked. Of course, nowadays, hardly anybody knows where milk comes from, so what to speak of cow? It comes from the plastic packet, the polythene bag, isn't it? Yeah, from milk factory it comes. So nowadays we have come a long distance, and sadhus and sannyasis have also changed a lot. Nowadays also sadhus and sannyasis have to travel in airplanes, and they have to sit in cars, and they have to do all kinds of things, carry mobile phones and laptop computers. I don't know what Shukadev Goswami would have thought if he heard that in future people of his community would have to do all these things. But of course Shukadev Goswami is a perfect devotee, so he understands, like Narad Muni, that for the sake of preaching the principles of Yukta Vairagya have to be invoked. But yes, Prabhupada gives some very nice words of caution here, that we have to use this principle of Yukta Vairagya with great caution. In the name of preaching, in the name of devotional service, we should not use material facilities and technological inventions and so on for sense gratification. Rather, they should be used only for the service of the Lord. Similarly, facilities, when a sannyasi or a renunciant avails of the facilities or services of householders, he should not be enticed by them, as Prabhupada says here very clearly. One should not become attracted by the comforts or facilities, rather one should be fixed in one's devotional consciousness and the purpose of one's life. And this indeed is the goal for everyone, whether one is a brahmachari, grihastha, vanaprastha, sannyasi, or anyone. Whether we live in the midst of opulence or not, our consciousness should be fixed on something that is beyond this world, on Krishna. And we should keep our goal of life very clearly fixed in the front of our mind, not in the back of our mind, and do our sadhana and other devotional activities very, very nicely, so we can make spiritual advancement and eventually go back home, back to Godhead. And therefore our complete dedication to this mission is very, very important. It is not sufficient that we ourselves become pure devotees alone. We want to share this with others. This is a preaching mission. And the preaching mission is based on a spirit of compassion. ప్రాయేణ దేవమునయో స్వవిముక్తి కామ మౌనం చరంతి వ్రజనేన పరార్థ నిష్ఠ. ప్రహ్లాద్ కృష్ణ భాగవతం దగ్గర మెనీ సెయింట్లీ పీపుల్ హూ ఆర్ ఓన్లీ కన్సర్న్డ్ అబౌట్ దర్ ఓన్ సాల్వేషన్ బట్ దే ఆర్ నాట్ కన్సర్న్డ్ అబౌట్ ద వెల్ఫేర్ ఆఫ్ అదర్స్ ఇన్ పర్సూట్ ఆఫ్ దర్ ఓన్ salvation, they may have mourned breath, vows of silence, or they may go to solitary places. But Prahlad Maharaj says, I am not like that. I am concerned for these fallen conditioned souls who are running after this false illusory happiness. So therefore, as devotees of the Krishna consciousness movement, we must also not take refuge of the principles of Maunam and Charanti Vijane. Maunam means vow of silence. Yes, instead of speaking material things, we should keep silent. But better than keeping silent is to speak about Krishna. And instead of going to solitary places and residing there for one's own salvation or for one's own material progress, one should actually go to the midst of the world outside and reach out to them with Krishna Katha. And that's what book distribution is all about. That is why Srila Prabhupada wanted us to distribute books, so that not only would we ourselves make advancement in spiritual life by the sacrifice of going out, by the tapasya, the austerity of going out and distributing these books, but we would share this wonderful way of life and this knowledge with everybody. People are now really thirsty, very thirsty for spiritual life. We are falling short. I will tell you one example, one remarkable incident that happened just a few days ago. I was in Melkote. Now we had a yatra for some brahmacharis and the brahmacharis have gone back. And in our yatra we were joined by one devotee who was also planning to be a brahmachari. But he had some family obligations, so he had some money to raise to give to his family before he becomes a brahmachari. He is a doctor, an MBBS doctor. So he went for a job in Kerala. And he was working in a hospital. And he came across one of his colleagues who had been a Hindu but who became a Muslim by hearing the teaching of some Muslim evangelist who seems to be quite active nowadays in India. And he converted to Islam, and his entire family, his father, uncles, whole big group converted to Islam. And so he happened to talk to this devotee. They were discussing for a long time. And when this devotee, he explained Krishna consciousness in such a nice way. First he was very aggressive, the other person. But when he heard this philosophy, he would go back on the internet, talk to his people, and get back, and he found that, and he admitted, he said, your answers are much better. He said, you read this Bhagavad Gita. He said, can I read it? He said, of course. He said, why do you doubt that you can read it or not? He said, we thought only Brahmins are supposed to read. So you see, what has happened is, because within the perverted Vedic system, the so-called caste system, there was much exploitation of the so-called lower castes. So as a result, they had all these feelings that Bhagavad Gita is not for us, it's only for the Brahmins. And so because of such feelings, many people leave the fold of Sanatana Dharma and they accept some dharmas. So he was so surprised. And then he started reading Bhagavad Gita, which he gave him Prabhupada's other books as well. And his life is changing. He said, I want to know more. I don't care who it is. I want God. I'll leave this person. I'll leave this religion. I'll come back. I'll accept what you say. But you have to answer my question. This book is so nice. So he was so inspired by reading Prabhupada's books and hearing the philosophy from his devotee. And this devotee has now gone back and now he will continue the discussion. And this person is now very much keen to read Prabhupada's books more. He wants lectures, he wants CDs, he's now thinking he will switch back and become a devotee. So just feel the power that books can have. We have the best philosophy. And as this other doctor who became a Muslim said, this philosophy is just incomparable, he said. There is so much here. And when he got back to his people, they couldn't answer the questions like this. So this is Prabhupada's genius. He has presented the most wonderful knowledge in so, such a lucid form, in a way that common people can understand. Ordinary people, educated people of this world can understand. And as he reads more and more Prabhupada's books, Prabhupada's mercy and Krishna's mercy is going to enter into his heart. So we hope and pray that this person and his family members will now become pure devotees. So all of you may also please pray to Narasimhadev to protect this person, so he may also become Krishna conscious. He has Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita and other books now. So we hope and pray it's only a matter of time. So such is the miracle of book distribution. Imagine that we go out, we take the trouble to go out into the streets, home to home, shop to shop, door to door, person to person. We can change the lives of people like nothing else. The transformation that we can bring about will be extraordinary. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur used to say there is a shortage of only one thing in this world, and that is Krishna consciousness. And the books contain this highest Krishna consciousness. All we have to do is reach out to them, give it out to people, explain it to them. People are hungry and thirsty, waiting for us to come. And now that the book distribution marathon has begun already, isn't it? So it has begun. So now please take to it with great enthusiasm. Remember, it's not that we want to be pure devotees ourselves alone. We want others to be pure devotees as well. And in fact, the process of helping others becoming pure devotees helps us to become pure devotees. Srila Prabhupada's book distribution marathon ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Shri Lakshmi Narasimha Bhagavan ki jai. Gaur Premanande. I'd like to offer my congratulations to all of you for having made this center such a vibrant center. And thanks to all the devotees who are looking after all the aspects of the functioning of this temple. And also the other projects that are going on here. I pray to Srila Prabhupada that he can empower all of you to continue this very, very strongly in the future as well. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.